Audience in the nation, I am not Bob Enyard, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
I am Doug McBurney, host of the weekly Worldview on the World Wide Web, going worldwide, unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media, and I'm just glad to be here with you today. Haven't slept much in the last 3 days, and just feel giddy from it, you know? It's awesome. So we've just returned, literally, the producer and I, just returned from the event, turning in the personhood signatures. And the bad news is, for the pro-aborts out there, we did gather enough signatures to put the personhood issue on the ballot again in Colorado in 2010. And we are coming for you. Bring on the fight. I thought the questions from the media were rather disappointing, to be honest with you. I mean, it was nice enough that they showed up. But for people who went to journalism school or whatever, college-educated people, they don't seem to be very deep thinkers and not very creative. They did seem concerned or interested in the view of the leaders of the Colorado personhood effort as to what was going to happen once this bill passes, what's going to happen in the courts. So they're obsessed with the courts, and what they don't realize is that this movement is not about going to the Supreme Court and trying to change what they've done. This is about asserting the rights of the states to stand up and protect the rights of their citizens. And I thought Gualberto Garcia Jones, co-sponsor, I thought he was quite eloquent, especially him being a lawyer. You know, I'm willing to cut him some slack for that. Anyway, Gualberto said, look, if this goes to court, it goes to court. If it goes to the Supreme Court, great, we'll go to the Supreme Court. But this is about emboldening the states to break free from the federal bondage, allowing an entire class of human beings, an entire class of people, citizens, to be dehumanized and murdered. That's what it's about. Anyway, it was fantastic. So if anybody wants to ask me any questions and you're any more creative than the bozos at the Associated Press, Or the guy at Channel 7 here was actually pretty good. Channel 7 being the ABC affiliate, I believe, here in Denver. Anyway, if you have any questions, if you want to, I was there. Another historic event. Give me a call. I'd be happy to tell you about it. Well, I'm going to tell you about it anyways, but I'd be happy to take your questions. I'm at, what's our number here? It's 800-836-9278 if you'd like to call in. Get the inside skinny on the historic return of personhood to the Colorado ballot. So this is the first signature gathering effort that we're aware of that required hiring no professional petitioners. This was all volunteers. Let's see, we needed 76,047 signatures, and we turned in 79,900 and something change. Very close. Pretty much you could call it 80,000 signatures, give or take. And the Secretary of State shall giveth and taketh away, I'm sure, and we'll see what happens. But the bottom line is we have enough, we submitted enough signatures to put it on the ballot. If they throw some out, well, we're just going to go out and get some more. They'll give us a chance to get some more. And if that happens, those of you here in our Denver audience, you're going to have to stand up with me and make a commitment. How many signatures can you get? So here's what happens, folks. If the Secretary of State throws out enough signatures to where we're under the 76,047 that we need, there will be what's called a two-week curing period. And this isn't where you take a ham and hang it in a wooden shack and blow smoke. No, not that kind of curing. I'm not sure what it means. But there's a two-week curing period, and we'll have an opportunity to go out and get more signatures. So we might have to go out and get another 10, 20,000 signatures, probably somewhere in there. And I'm here to tell you right now, I'm up for it. Bring it on. We'll go get them. And you've got to stand with me out there in the Denver audience. Man, I'm sitting here looking at a double cheeseburger. We literally just landed here at the studio before
before airtime, and obviously my radio training failed me here. I ate half the burger and was unable to consume the entire burger before airtime. So I'm looking at the burger. Now, I think I could eat fries on the air. What do you think? I think I could pull it off eating some French fries on the air. Because if I don't, well, I'm going to fall over, and then the show's going to be over. Now, Bob Enyart is down at the Secretary of State's office right now. The Colorado government, by the way, was put on furlough today by Governor, what's the governor's name? Tax Ritter? Governor Tax Ritter put the Colorado government on furlough today without pay because, you know, these politicians have bankrupted our state like so many across the nation. But the Secretary of State stayed open just for personhood. So Bob is down there right now getting a good bit of exercise, carrying boxes and boxes of petitions up the stairs there to the third floor to the Secretary of State's office. He may call in. He may not. We hope he does call in because we'd love to hear about how it's all going down there. And speaking of calling in, if you'd like to call in, call and talk to me. And you can get the inside skinny on the personhood campaign. What else do we have going on? We have the telethon. Now, the Bob Enyart broadcast telethon has so far been a dismal failure. We're here at the 12th day of the shortest month of the year, which it's Black History Month. Did you know that? It's Black History Month. Yeah. They picked the shortest month of the year because they're all a bunch of racist crackers. That's why. Why did I say that? Why am I going in that direction? It is Black History Month. I just found that out. 12 days in, I wasn't aware. But it's also Bob Enyart's Telethon Month. Now, the racists pick the shortest day of the month because, well, they're just racist crackers. And they gave the shortest month to our African-American brethren as their month. But we picked the shortest month of the year because we hate telethons. And we hate raising money. We hate asking for money. But, well, we don't hate it, but it's rather distasteful. But we need money to keep the show on the air. You know, this show was a huge part of the personhood effort getting back on the ballot here in Colorado. And also motivating and educating personhood efforts across 40 states. This show is the vector. This is the media vector. And we have to keep it going. So we're at, do we know what we're at for the telethon? We're at maybe $800. Nobody knows. Nobody knows because nobody's here. Nobody's been here. We've been working all night. The people who would normally be here working in the office, they're sleeping because they collapsed after an all-nighter last night. This is going to be the most pristine petition ever turned into the Secretary of State. All the petitions are in numerical order, and it's beautiful. It's a pristine thing. I tell you, Secretary of State's got to be happy with that. Is there any news of the day? I actually have some personhood news that I want to talk about briefly. Over in New Hampshire, the New Hampshire State House is considering a bill that treats a fetus as a person for the purposes of homicide. They're expected to vote on it in a week or so. The bill would add the term unborn child to the definition of a person for the purpose of first and second degree murder, manslaughter, negligent homicide. So basically it's a fetal homicide law, which in theory I'm not necessarily opposed to. But let's read a little bit deeper. Now, have we talked about the New Hampshire bill? Maybe we have. What was the bill we abandoned most recently? Wasn't it the Virginia bill? The Virginia personhood bill that had a loophole in it that you could drive an abortionist through? Well, listen to the New Hampshire bill. The bill does provide an exception for abortion. This is the personhood bill in New Hampshire. The fetal homicide bill provides an exception for abortion and states that the homicide provision would not apply to any act committed by the mother of an unborn child, or any medical procedure, including abortion, They just don't get it out in New Hampshire. They just don't get it out in New Hampshire. The bill continues. Now listen to what they do in New Hampshire, folks. This is why the pro-life movement needs to be woken up. Ladies and gentlemen, the pro-life movement has been hijacked by people who are not at all pro. Did I say pro-choice? The pro-life movement has been hijacked. The bill continues and defines abortion. It defines abortion. So here we have pro-life legislators telling doctors how they can kill children and remain within the law. They're going to write an abortion manual here. It defines abortion as the act of using or prescribing any instrument, medicine, drug, or any other substance, device, or means with the intent to terminate the clinically diagnosable pregnancy of a woman. So did you hear that term? To terminate the clinically diagnosable pregnancy of a woman. That's how Republicans say kill the baby. They say to terminate the clinically diagnosable pregnancy of a woman with the knowledge that the termination by those means will, with reasonable likelihood, cause the death of an unborn child. So here's another abortion manual written into one of our allegedly pro-life laws in the state of New Hampshire. They call this a personhood law. Well, out here in Colorado, no exceptions. We're putting a personhood law on the books that is a real personhood law. And now let's go to Bob Enyart for an update from the Secretary of State's office. Bob, talk to me.
Doug, it's great to be on the show, and it's very exciting. Keith Mason and Guabe Garcia-Jones and Leslie Hanks did a fabulous job turning in 80,000 signatures, 80,000 signatures. And, Doug, you know, last time it was only Colorado getting signatures for personhood.
That's right.
This time there are states around the country, and over 300,000 signatures have been gathered in the time that we've been doing signatures to get on the ballot here.
Wow, so we've gone from 131,000 signatures to now nearly 400,000 signatures, and we're spreading it out across different states.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, of course, the Secretary of State, now they have a big job ahead of them. They're probably going to have to validate each and every signature. And, of course, they'll find reasons to throw out some of the signatures. And so we may be looking at a cure period of 2 weeks.
A cure
coming up perhaps in about a month from now, maybe sooner.
A cure period? That means they give us 2 weeks to find a cure for this problem of abortion? What
well, maybe 2 weeks to find a cure for Washington, D.C. but, yeah, exactly.
So the cure period...
We have 2 weeks to replace the signatures that they throw out. And this means we are, you know, we are very close to getting on the ballot.
Yes. Well, I'm ready. Just give me, let me know. Tell the Secretary of State just to let me know when, and I'll be out there. And we've got how many petitioners, Bob? About 1,000 individuals who carry
over
petitions?
Over 1,000 petitioners.
Wow.
You know, every petition has to be notarized, and the notaries came from all over the state of Colorado. There were over 700 notaries involved in getting this petition, this personhood amendment on the ballot.
That's awesome. Bob, we're all excited about Colorado. We've reached the goal. Now it's just a matter of taking it across the finish line. We know we can do it. You said you were with Keith Mason. Can you give us any update? Today was a big day in Mississippi as well. Have you been able to hear anything about that?
I have not, because of how overwhelmed we have been with the events here in Colorado. It was just extraordinary to see dozens of people working a labor of love to process these petitions. And, Doug, the petitions themselves, they are like works of art.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen the petitions of, you know, the guys who want to legalize marijuana and all.
Yeah.
You can't hardly read them.
Well, they can
these
hardly
are
write.
A labor of love by yep. so many people. Who did a fabulous job putting their name on the bottom line that they want to be counted to protect unborn children, because these kids are made in God's image and God's likeness.
That's right, Bob. An all-volunteer force making it clear that this was a pro-life petition, knowing that some portion of the electorate would refuse to sign it because we're telling them it's pro-life. But this was indeed, Bob, a labor of love, not only to get the signatures, but to confront the heathens with their own conscience, to confront the liberal Christians with the struggle between their flesh and their spirit. It was a witnessing opportunity, a labor of love. That's a great way to put it, Bob. And we're all We're just thrilled that you have had the opportunity to be down there on this historic day for the actual turn-in to the Secretary of State. Are the petitions now physically in the possession of the Secretary of State?
They are. Let me tell you what happened. Of course, there was a rally press conference just a half a block from the Capitol. Colorado Right to Life, one of the co-sponsors with President of Colorado, their office is about two doors down from the Capitol. So there's a rally there, and then there was a march where people carried the boxes of petitions, 80,000 signatures from over 1,000 circulators, and they went to 17th and Lincoln, where the Secretary of State's office is, and then upstairs in the cash register building, if people in Denver know that building.
Oh, yeah.
And upstairs, and there was a team from the Secretary of State's office waiting. They had reserved the conference room, and they set up a long table, and the petitions were laid out on that table, and they are stamping right now. They have about a half a dozen people just stamping a time and date stamp, stamping each petition, and then Personhood Colorado has their people there observing that process, and they will get a receipt for the number of petitions turned in by 5 o'clock today.
Outstanding. So Personhood Colorado is allowed to be in the room during the review of the petitions?
Yeah, right. That intake part of the process. That way everyone is in agreement that all the petitions were turned in.
How many petitions? Some 1,900, 2,000 petitions? I forget.
Yeah, 2,000.
Wow.
It might have been just over 2,000 petitions from over 1,000 circulators.
Well, Bob, it's just a tremendous victory and a hard-fought victory. And obviously, we're not across the finish line yet, but having achieved this number of signatures, we're all very encouraged that if we do have to take part in the curing period, then we can get it done.
Yeah, I believe so. There is a team, you know. There's Gideon's Army.
Yeah.
And extraordinary things in history often happen against the momentum or the majority that prefers to watch sports and watch sitcoms and watch crime dramas and just sort of fall through time and space.
Yeah, the ones sitting on their couches.
Yeah, where comfort and relaxation is like a primary goal in life, oftentimes it's not the majority that determine the course of events.
Amen.
And in history, so often, there's a remnant. In the Bible, it's Gideon's army, people who are willing to trust God and that they have courage. And courage is so crucial for honoring God. You know, God does not get excited when he sees his people who are faint-hearted or if they're cowardly, if they're afraid. God wants us to be courageous and not ashamed of the gospel that God made us. These kids are made in his image, in his likeness, and if you kill these children, God will be angry. In fact, Jesus said, it'd be better to put a millstone around your neck and be thrown into the sea than to have one of these little ones harmed.
Wow.
That's a paraphrase. Jesus was talking about if you cause one of these little ones to stumble. Well, just imagine if you take one of those little ones and rip off his arms and his legs and kill him. Imagine how that grieves God and how it angers God.
Yeah, and Bob, I really believe by the grace of God and the movement of his spirit and the effort of his body here in the state of Colorado, there is no state in the union where the remnant is better defined and organized than right here in the state of Colorado. And isn't it exciting now that we're going out across 40 states and teaching the remnants in those states how to do the same thing? It's incredible.
Doug, it's absolutely astounding. We get letters, we get emails and phone calls into the different pro-life groups. And we wanted to read an email that we just got, but, you know, we're down here at the Secretary of State's office, so I've gone outside on the street corner so I could talk to you and not disturb the work going on inside. But we get an email from Montana, And there's a Christian man who's doing a tremendous job promoting personhood. And he asks a question. He sends an email to one of the Right to Life groups in Denver.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I have a question about how to answer somebody on this issue with the Montana Constitution. He said, but I want to let you guys know there's some great teaching on the internet you should listen to. It's at a website called kgov.com.
Yeah.
And we're just so blessed, you know, because there are thousands of people now promoting personhood all over the country. And this is a movement. God has blessed this movement, and it really did start the resurgence of personhood began in Colorado in 2008.
And Bob, we're blessed that it did happen here, and that you, as a pastor, as a preacher of the gospel, were within the flow of events that kicked off that resurgence of personhood. Because having studied now the scriptures with you for over a decade, and knowing how much you love the Lord and how much you want to know Him better, and how you're able to communicate that to our little church here at Denver Bible Church, the little church that could, as you call it, I just praise God, and I can tell you that I'm not surprised that He chose this time and this place to exercise this movement, and we're just blessed.
Well, it is a blessing. Doug, you know that people were processing the petitions at an undisclosed location for the whole week.
That's right.
And a tremendous amount of work had to go into it. And we did the show from that location yesterday.
Yeah.
And people were working till late last night, almost midnight. And a beautiful brother in the Lord called and said, could we have a Bible study down south this morning before work? We need to have a Bible study because there's a young Christian guy who wants to know the Bible and, you know, even wants to learn it more and better. Praise the Lord. So we head down 5 o'clock in the morning, head down to South Denver.
Wow.
And we meet some guys before they've got to be at work, professional guys, and we study the scriptures. That's part of a day at work. Fighting the battle. The sword of the Spirit is God's word.
You're handling it adeptly and deftly, Bob. We're thankful that it's in your hands and that you're here to do battle, and you're teaching not only us here in the local Denver area, but all over the country, and of course in the personhood movement all across the nation via kgov.com. You're just a tremendous fount of inspiration and information and education.
Well,
we're just so blessed, Bob.
Well, Doug, if you remember in 2007 in April, the Supreme Court rendered their horrendously wicked Gonzales v. Carhart ruling,
right,
upholding the partial birth abortion ban.
Yes.
And a lot of Christians celebrated that, but we grieved at that ruling and the ban.
Yeah.
Because it was only a 4-inch variation on partial birth abortion.
That's right.
It said you could still kill that same baby, late-term baby, just don't pull him out to the neck, pull him out to the navel, the belly button, then you could kill him.
Unbelievable.
And then they listed all different ways that you could kill the same baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was a brutally wicked ruling, and so many Christian leaders were celebrating, and over the next few months, as we educated great men and women of God, even like Judge... from the former Chief Justice in Alabama,
Judge Roy Moore. Yeah.
So many others, they came out and they said, you know what, this ruling, we thought it was something to celebrate, it was wicked, it was evil, and we signed full-page newspaper ads, letters, open letters to Dr. Dobson that were published all over the country, and Dr. Dobson wrote, after those letters, he wrote, ending partial birth abortion does not save a single human life, not one.
And, Bob, that is when the cracks began to appear in the facade of the pro-life industry, because the rank-and-file people like myself, who over the years have written checks to groups like National Right to Life, because we assumed that they were actively working to end abortion, Well, now the cracks have appeared in the facade, and now the water is rushing through, so to speak, and that's the rank and file pro-lifers who are exiting the pro-life industry and finding a new pro-life movement, a revived pro-life movement, in the personhood movement.
That's exactly right. In fact, American Right to Life got a CPA to do the research to figure out how much money was raised by the partial birth abortion ban by the pro-life industry.
Oh, wow.
Over a period of 15 years, Doug. They never once told the truth. They never once admitted to their donors that this would not stop a single abortion, not one. But they took in $250 million.
Wow.
Over $250 million from partial birth abortion fundraisers. And the body of Christ had been completely deceived.
Mm.
Now, it was partly our fault.
Yeah.
Because we have the responsibility to know and, you know, to look at the leaders we're supporting and we're sending money to and see if they have integrity.
Right.
And if they're honoring God. But the PBA ban was a scam.
Mm.
And so then a young gal from, you know, outside of Colorado Springs, Peyton, Colorado, Christy Burton,
yeah,
came to Colorado Right to Life and said, would you guys support us? Would you support us? We want to put a personhood amendment on the ballot.
Yeah.
And Doug, for the last 30 years, let me tell you what happened to young Christians like Christy Burton all over the country. They came to their Right to Life leaders, to the national ministries. They said, this is what we want to do. And they were crushed.
Mm.
They were stepped on. Their vision and hope was robbed from them. They were attacked, ridiculed if necessary, whatever the effort to stop them.
Mm.
And there was a difference with the officers and the board of Colorado Right to Life. I wasn't on that board. I was not an officer. But Christy Burton came to them and said, would you help me? And they said, we will give you our complete support.
And Bob, they not only that, not only did they not crush your vision, they followed through, they organized, they stirred up the body of Christ, they took hold of the spirit that was active, and praise God, Bob, the board and Colorado Right to Life were the vector, were the point for this movement to launch. And just praise God, Bob. We're almost out of time. Just glorifying God and just so thankful. It's just been an amazing, amazing 6 months.
All right. God bless you, Doug McBurney. Thank you, Doug.
Well, God bless you, Bob. Folks, we're out of time. Call for the telethon. Donate thousands of dollars. Go to kgov.com, our website, and Maranatha Christian Center. What a wonderful school.